It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning gonna keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5, touchdown Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time and Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake, Freeman back to throw, under pressure, heaves it downfield, intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15, cuts right back to the 20, looking for a block up to the 30, and drag down there.
Manning takes the snap, back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline, and it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzine takes the snap. Pass
intercepted as he threw it right, picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul, and he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, or on Twitter. Hit us up at hashtag GiantsChat. Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. The NFL Draft now finally just 4 days away. Thank goodness. It cannot get here fast enough, quite frankly. We're tired of kind of talking about the same stuff over and over again. Not a whole lot of news this weekend in regards to the draft. One story out this morning. I'm not even sure who had it. I saw it off of Pro Football Talk. That the Eagles are leaning towards picking a wide receiver in the first round, which is not a huge shock, and they might even trade up to get one. So that's one little rumor that's out there. Another one that the Raiders have decided they will not draft a quarterback in the first round, which obviously is a bit of a hit to the Giants. So now we're basically looking at the Texans probably not taking a quarterback, the Jaguars probably not taking a quarterback, the Raiders probably not taking a quarterback. So before the Giants, the teams that are likely to take a quarterback would be Cleveland, maybe Minnesota, maybe Tennessee, and maybe even the Rams. So those are Rams are 13. They're after the Giants. But those are the three teams that theoretically could take a quarterback in that first round if they decide to go in that direction. I talked to somebody out in Cleveland that I know and respect, and what he's hearing around the Browns is that they do like Manziel. He's in the mix. But if Khalil Mack is there at 4, he would likely be the pick if he's on the board. So that's something I'm hearing out of Cleveland. They really like Khalil Mack. But again, if Manziel's there, he'll be in play. But if Mack's there, I think there's a decent chance that Mack could get taken over Manziel. And there is a chance Khalil Mack will be there. I mean, those first three picks, you know, conceivably could be Clowney, Watkins, Greg Robinson, which would leave Mack on the board for the Browns at 4, which would be bad news for the Giants. So if Giant fans really want to try to root for stuff in this first round, you root for Mack to be off the board before 4, so then Cleveland would take Johnny Manziel, which I think they'll do anyway, to be quite honest with you, but I'm hearing they really do like Cleo Mack out there. That's pretty much all we got. We're going to have a very busy show today, folks. We're going to be joined by Pete Domelatis from Pro Football Focus in just a second. Eric Kennedy will be on with us at 10, and we'll have a talk full of draft and anything else at the New York Football Giants. We can talk about that as well. 201-939-4513 and at hashtag Giants Chat. Here's what we're going to do with Pete, and I think it's interesting. You know, we've done all like these draft experts and everything. We're going to more get into needs with Pete. This, you know, a big thing, he covers the Giants for Pro Football Focus, and get his insight on what the Giants need exactly and how maybe this draft could fit their needs based on who's available. Not just in the first round. We're going to try to go a little bit deeper here this week, get beyond this first-round pick and try to dive into the second and third round a little bit more. 201-939-4513 will continue to take your calls. When we're done with Pete Domelatis, and he joins us right now from Pro Football Focus, you can follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Pete. Pete, what's going on? Good morning. Hope you had a great weekend, and thank goodness this draft is finally here.
Yeah, you're telling me. So anxious to have it finally get here. You know, I think the 2 weeks, I think it's consensus that we're all kind of antsy and waiting for it to finally get here. No, I am.
Well, Pete, you tell me, how do you guys at Pro Football Focus prepare for the draft? What do you guys do to try to, you know, get your content out there and figure out what teams should do with their selections?
Yep. So, you know, Pro Football Focus, you know, we're not you know, we watch every snap from every game on every player during the regular season in the NFL. But, you know, none of us claim to be experts in college football. We haven't looked at every snap for every college player. And our thoroughness is one of the things we pride ourselves on. So, you know, I can't say that, you know, we've all gone back and looked and compared, you know, a Taylor Lewan to a Zach Martin and could tell you exactly how they did. But since we have looked at every NFL team, we can tell you where, you know, the biggest needs are. And in the last couple of weeks, we've been doing a series. Our CEO and founder, Neil Hornsby, he's been doing a division-by-division look at draft needs for each team. And basically where, you know, where the biggest holes in each team's roster are. So that's something that we've been looking at. And then, you know, as the draft comes along and as teams are taking their picks, we'll kind of assess, you know, where they looked at their holes, where they fill those holes in their roster, and you know, where they still have some things that need to be done.
Well, then let's jump right into it on the New York Giants. We're joined by Pete Domelatis from Pro Football Focus. His beat is the Giants, and Pete, let's focus on it. Where do you peg the Giants' biggest needs in this year's draft?
The three big needs that we have for them are at tight end, at offensive line, but not offensive tackle, as everyone seems to be pointing out, more so the interior of the line, and also at linebacker. So tight end, it's a pretty obvious one. You know, they have Adrian Robinson there, who's, you know, everyone's excited about his potential, but frankly, he hasn't really shown a lot in his young career. And then you have Kellen Davis, who's just, you know, he hasn't been the sort of guy who can be a lead pass catcher either. So I think that's a clear need for them. Now, along the lines of the pass protection offensive line, I think they're kind of set at offensive tackle, believe it or not, because Will Beatty, for better or for worse, we all know he had an awful year last year, but the Giants are committed to him. And I think not just for the money they paid him, but also for the upside he showed previously in his career, it's worth giving him at least another season to figure things out. You know, back in 2012, he was our eighth highest graded left tackle. So, you know, he definitely had a great season there. And even back in 2011, the year the Giants won the Super Bowl, before he went down for the season, he was the Giants' best offensive lineman. So, yeah, I think you have to give him another shot to show that 2013 was an aberration. And then as far as linebacker, I don't want to sound like a broken record here because I know we've talked about this before when I've come on, but John Beeson, the Giants believe in him, but he was our worst graded linebacker in coverage last season. Also, you know, guys like Jaquan Williams have shown some potential, but they haven't really come through for that. Same thing with a guy like Spencer Paysinger, and Jameel McClain, who I think can be, you know, this year's Keith Rivers. I don't see him, though, as much of a difference maker either, so I definitely think the Giants could afford to upgrade the linebacking position. And frankly, it tells you how many holes they have where, or beyond that, they still need to upgrade the defensive line as well, because, you know, they don't have a ton of depth at defensive end or defensive tackle. So yeah, I think they could address all those positions in the draft.
Well, Pete, yeah, I know one need that I know a lot of fans have been calling up and really think should be a focus for the Giants in this draft, and the draft really isn't that strong, at least in the first round in this regard, is pass rushers. I think Giant fans are very concerned that maybe JPP is not going to bounce back after two down years or one down year specifically last season. Now, I think on a contract year, maybe he will bounce back a little bit, but Giant fans seem really concerned about the lack of pass rush to be paired with this brand new secondary that people are excited about.
Yeah, and I think it's a valid concern. I don't think you saw a lot of great pass rushers in the draft in free agency. I think that's why you saw teams overspend for aging veterans like DeMarcus Ware and Jared Allen and Julius Peppers. So I don't think the Giants were going to be able to fill their need in free agency. So I think they're going to look to the draft to do that. I like how they picked up Robert Ayers. I think he can be that kind of Justin Tuck type player, playing on the strong side of side technique, good against the run defense. And I just think they need a lot more depth there. And I'm not as worried about the Linval Joseph loss, just because the Vikings paid a lot of money for him, and he was never that strong pass rushing presence that you would need. He was reliable, he was healthy. But actually, Jonathan Hankins, who I'm very bullish on, he actually graded higher in the run and far fewer snaps than Linval Joseph did last year. So I think they're okay almost on the starting line of the defensive line, but absolutely they can use a pass rusher. But I think the only guy who's going to be there in the first round who's worthy of that number 12 selection is Aaron Donald. And he can be that guy who who kind of steps in for Colin Jenkins with the three technique. But I know you've mentioned this on Friday's show, but he doesn't really fit the size that the Giants are usually looking for on their defensive line. So they could be waiting for the later rounds of the draft to address the pass rush.
Now I want to jump back to the offensive side of the ball, and I'll get to a need that you didn't mention before that I know a lot of fans are excited about. But I'll hit on the offensive line for a second, Pete, because we've had, you know, some disagreement with some callers who really think the Giants have already addressed their offensive line issues. And I want to focus specifically on two of the offensive linemen that they brought in this offseason, two of the veterans, Charles Brown and John Jerry. Now, a lot of fans seem to think that these guys are answers and they can step in and be starters and the Giants' offensive line will be fine. How did Pro Football Focus see John Jerry and Charles Brown last season? And are these guys potential starters that you can plug in and be okay, or are they much better as depth guys and backups in case your starter gets hurt?
Well, they have been starters in the past, so they have that experience, but I think the Giants are in trouble if they are relying on them to be starters. Jerry, he's been pretty, I think I mentioned this before, he's been consistent in his career in that he's a good pass blocker and a pretty bad run blocker. So I think that he's sort of insurance in case Chris Knee doesn't work out, but clearly you really don't want to have to rely on him in a 16-game season. And Charles Brown, you know, he was benched last year by the Saints and for Teron Armstead, and he deserved to be. He was, some people thought he got abused by Greg Hardy in that one game, but that was may have been the straw that broke the camel's back because, frankly, he was getting beat up by a lot of guys week after week. And I just think that, you know, if he's in there and they have to go to him, I think Giants are in trouble. And that's why, you know, I would go if I was a Giants looking at offensive line, and I know everyone's been throwing back Taylor Lewan or Zach Martin. I would almost consider Zach Martin as the better choice because of his versatility and because you can have him slide into a couple different positions if Chris Knee doesn't work out at right guard, if Will Beatty doesn't work out at left tackle, or if J.D. Walton doesn't work out at center, who I think the Giants are really hoping he does, but I'm not sure if he will given his history.
We're joined by Pete Dombalatis on Pro Football Focus. Pete, want to continue on the offensive side of the ball. When you mentioned your needs, one position you left out was wide receiver. And one guy I know that would be very upset about you leaving that out would probably be Victor Cruz. He was on NFL Network last week basically begging for the Giants to take a wide receiver. And that tells me, and you know, you guys watched every game on coach's tape last year, he's probably tired of seeing those either straight-up double teams or even if not that, the safety over the top on his side play in, play out, because there was no Giant wide receiver last year that would make teams pay for doing that last year. Do you think Reuben Randle can become that guy based on what you've seen, or do the Giants need to try to add another playmaking wide receiver here?
You know, I like Randle, and I like Jarrell Jernigan as well. Jarrell Jernigan, actually, he came on late in the year, but his grade, actually, I was looking at it, it's funny because it was basically the same as Julio Jones's last season. Julio obviously doing his work in the beginning of the year before he went out, and then Jernigan doing his work down the stretch. But you know, so I thought Jernigan had some good potential there, and I thought Randle, I think a lot of his mistakes last season were miscommunications in the Kevin Gilbride option offense. So I think that he has a better chance to succeed in McAdoo's offense than most of the other wide receivers out there. That being said, clearly they definitely need wide receiver help. And I think the best thing about this draft is it's one of the deepest at the wide receiver in years. So I think the Giants could it's funny because a couple months ago you thought that they could get a guy like Mike Evans, and now it's looking more and more clear that he's definitely going to be a top 10 guy. So, you know, if somehow he falls, that'd be great. But otherwise, I think the Giants can still bolster their roster in the later rounds as well without too much of a problem.
We're joined by Pete Dombalatis, Pro Football Focus, covers the Giants. And, Pete, I know you really didn't cover the team last year, but I'm wondering if you or any of the other guys have taken a look at the Packers' offense last year. Can you give kind of the fans an idea of what some of the tenets of what McAdoo did in Green Bay last year, or at least the offense? He wasn't the coordinator. What the offense did in Green Bay last year that you think he might bring over in terms of key tenets of what the offense is and what he does?
Yeah, you know, I think one thing he's going to do, I think he's going to focus on shorter passes to get more yards after the catch. I think that as you would expect from a West Coast offense. The Giants basically abandoned the screen last year. They were, I think, they had the fewest screen yards of any team in the league, or at least bottom three. So I think he's definitely going to try to bring some of that back, both, you know, halfback screens and wide receiver screens. I know that Aaron Rodgers and his receivers love that back shoulder throw. I know Eli Manning used to that as well. So with his time, throwing that to Hakeem Nicks a lot. So, and maybe he could find some of that chemistry with a guy like Randall or maybe, you know, a rookie receiver they bring in. Who knows? But I think that McAdoo's offense going to focus more on the shorter intermediate game and not as much the deep passes that we saw with the Gilbride offense. And frankly, that was one of Eli's best strengths in previous seasons, but it really abandoned them last year, and it might be a good time for a change anyway.
We have a couple more questions for Pete Domelatis from Pro Football Focus. Pete, when you take a look at this draft, how important is it for you for the Giants to go heavily offense in this draft? You know, last year they averaged only about 17 points per game. You figure if you want to have a chance to win a playoff game, you probably have to get up to around 24 points a game. That'll put you in the top half of the league. How important is it for you for this Giants offense to add more talent to its ranks in this draft?
Yeah, I think offense is a big need, but this is sort of not a really optimistic point, but they have a lot of holes everywhere. They can improve in a lot of spots. And beyond the short term, if you're looking long term, the defense, you know, their secondary, as revamped as it is, a lot of these guys are not locked up past the season. You look at a guy like Antrell Roll, Stevie Brown, Will Hill, who, you know, has his off-season issues. He's a restricted free agent next year. Walter Thurman, who they signed, is a free agent next year as well. So, and even Prince Amukamara, the Giants picked up his option. But that fifth-year option, it's not guaranteed. And they picked it up almost because there's no risk to doing so. You know, you pick it up, and then if Prince Amukamara has a lukewarm year, you can just cut him at the end of the season without batting an eye. So there was no reason for them not to pick up that option. And I don't think that picking up means that he's necessarily here in 2015. So don't be surprised if the Giants decide, you know, say like an Aaron Donald isn't there, say if they're not a fan of him, or if Zach Martin is there at number 12, I wouldn't be shocked to see the Giants pick up someone in the secondary as well. So it's clear they definitely need to improve their offense. I think that needs to be the focus of this draft. But as far as that first pick goes and the way the draft shakes out, I wouldn't be shocked if they go defense, either Donald or someone in the secondary.
All right, we're joined by Pete Domelatis, Pro Football Focus. Pete, I hope you were ready for this, but I'm going to put you on the spot like I do everybody when I bring them out about the draft. Give me a prediction.
Sure.
Who do the Giants get in the first round? And if you want to move a little forward here, if you want to talk about who you think they're going to get in rounds two or three, more than happy to get them from you, but at least give me a first-round prediction for the Giants.
Okay. Well, can I start off with someone who I definitely don't think they're going to take?
Yeah, sure.
So I know everyone loves, and I know you've been advocating them taking Eric Ebron in the
yes.
first round. I don't think that's the best move for them, because looking at a couple things. First off, how the NFL has valued and drafted tight ends in recent years. Second off, how the Giants have drafted and developed tight ends in recent years. You know, there's only been one tight end taken in the first round of the last three seasons, and the last tight end to be taken before pick 20 was Vernon Davis back in 2006. So if you're taking Ebron at spot number 12, you're saying that you think he's a, you know, once every 5 years sort of prospect, and frankly, I don't think he is. I don't think North Carolina asked him to do a ton of blocking, and we all know how much Tom Coughlin loves his tight ends to block. Even in McAdoo's offense, the tight end didn't block. JerMichael Finley didn't block as much as you know, Brandon Myers in New York. But still, I mean, they want their tight ends to block. And I think that, you know, even in the NFL, if you look league-wide, a lot of the best tight ends are emerging every year. You see guys like Julius Thomas, Jordan Cameron, who are taken in the later rounds as well. So for the Giants, I could see them just waiting and getting like a C.J. Fedorowicz in the third, fourth round and going that route. And if they strike out in the draft, you know, there's always a guy like Dustin Keller or Kellen Winslow or JerMichael Finley who's still out there so on the free agent heap. So, yeah, I don't think Ebron is definitely the top pick. Who I would go with is I would still go offense, though. I would go Zach Martin for the point I mentioned before. I think that he's versatile enough that he can flip in on the left side if Beedy starts to struggle. He can come in at right guard if he isn't doing well. If you draft Lawan, you're almost have to move Justin Tuck inside the guard. And for a guy who
Justin Pugh, us, you mean?
Moving Justin Pugh, and we just did a rookie review. Our analyst Steve Palzo over here looked at the rookies who improved most in the second half last year, and Justin Pugh was one of the best rookies in the second half of the season last year. So he had a great second half, and I think that it'd be foolish to kind of move him out of position just to draft a guy like Lawan when you have a guy who a lot of people like better in Zach Martin, who can slide in at guard, and then all of a sudden you have more versatility on your offensive line. So for me, I'm going Zach Martin.
All right, once they go offense on that first round, Pete, how do you want them to round out day two? Do you want them then to focus on skill positions? Do you think it's more important to get that linebacker? Where do you rank their priorities, and where do you think need will meet value in the next couple of picks?
I think they have to go skill position. You've been banging the table for it. I think you're absolutely right there. A wide receiver, a tight end, like I said, someone like Fedorowicz. I think there's plenty of wide receiver depth in this draft, like maybe getting an Allen Robinson in the second round, someone along those lines. And then, I think they could definitely use another linebacker just to develop. And the thing is, as much as they love Beeson, you have to remember his injuries prior to last season. So
that's a good point.
If he goes down, what are they going to do at linebacker? So I think they have to get a guy there. And like I mentioned, the secondary, I think there's a lot of guys there who aren't locked up past this season. So you might want to get some depth there as well to start playing for the future. We all know that everyone's focused on this year, but Jerry Reese has to worry about a few years down the road as well. So I could see them beefing up the secondary as well.
Pete, appreciate the time, my friend. We'll catch up with you after the draft. All right, bud?
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Thanks. That's Pete Domlatis from Pro Football Focus. We thank him for joining us here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. That's the phone number. Of course, you can go to Pro Football Focus for everything New York Giants, and you can check out their game tape and everything like that. So make sure you check it out, ProFootballFocus.com. They have a premium package. You can buy that if you want. It gives all the inside stuff and everything else you want to talk about. In terms of breaking down some of that coaches tape, they do a great job, and really they give you some of the information that you can't really get elsewhere. And it's really hard for fans to break down the offensive line and little things like that. So they really provide a pretty valuable service, and they do great work over there. We thank Pete for joining us. He's becoming a nice part of the Big Blue Kickoff family. He does an excellent job. We thank him for joining us on the phones this morning. 201-939-4513. Eric Kennedy in about 7 or 8 minutes, but we will take your calls until we get him on the line. Let's go to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey first. Tim, what's going on, bud?
Nothing. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tim. How are you?
Fine. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If they don't sign Jermichael Finley, will the Giants draft Eric Ebron, Newark, a native, and a tie-in from North Carolina in the first round?
Here's the thing, and I understand why, Pete doesn't like the Ebron pick in the first round. Other people, I know Jordan Renan on, NJ.com has said he doesn't think the Giants are going to pick an Eric Ebron at tight end, and I understand why they think they won't. And no one has talked about the importance of a tight end being able to block for Tom Coughlin more than I have the past 2 years. Heck, it's been the focus of like 3 or 4 weeks of shows in the middle of the year when Brandon Myers was having the issues Brandon Myers was having. So, look, I get that, and I understand why Giant fans would be reticent to draft a tight end that they're not sure they can block. I understand that. But here's why, and I will give my Eric Ebron advocation right now. And by the way, later in the week, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you two different things. I will give you, if I was the Giants GM, who I would pick. And then I will make my prediction who I think the Giants will pick. And they're going to be fairly different, I think, to be quite honest with you. It's basically, you're my top 100, and then you have the, mock draft. So I'll give you both of those for me. If I was the Giants, I would take Eric Ebron. I think he fills your biggest hole on the roster at tight end. I think they have less talent at tight end than any other position on the roster. And I think it also gives you a weapon to bring take attention away from Victor Cruz. I think Ebron, look, you saw him not only be a possession receiver over the middle, you saw him stretch the field in North Carolina, be a weapon that you legitimately have to deal with. Now, if the Giants don't draft Ebron, they don't get one of those second-round tight ends, the you know Troy Nicholas's, the Seferian Jenkins, and even if they miss out on C.J. Fedora, so this is a worst-case scenario. You get to Saturday, the Giants have not drafted a tight end, and I said this last week, I'm all in on Jermichael Finley. If he passes his you know neck test and whatever other physical issues he has to overcome, I'm all in on Jermichael Finley. All in. Thanks for the call, Tim. 201-939-4513. Shakes is in Baltimore. Shakes, happy Monday, buddy.
Hey, man. Happy Monday to you, too.
What's up, man? How
are
you?
I'm glad you said that about Finley because I truly believe if we don't get this tight end in this draft, he's going to be a giant. When it's all said and done and he's clear to play and he's healthy, I think Finley will be a giant if we don't get a tight end in this draft.
Well, Shakes, I think you have to. There's really no one else on the market. Finley, you would think, has some kind of clue as to what McAdoo's system is. Again, right. You know me. I'm not the biggest Finley fan. I wasn't a big advocate of signing him earlier in the offseason. I think he drops too many passes. He could be a little mouthy sometimes. All those things are issues. But I think you get to the point then where you have such a hole, you have to take someone that's maybe imperfect and hope he fits that role as well as possible. Plus the Giants have all that money they have saved off the David Boss deal coming off after June 1st. So they would be in a position where they actually have the money to bring in a guy like that too.
Hey, John, don't you find it funny that's the things that you say about Finley? You know, he can't. You know, the drops and his mouth and all that. And don't you think it's funny that's the same knock they have on Ebron?
How old is Jermichael Finley?
He's not old. He's what, 26?
He's been in the league 6 years, 5 years.
Not old though. I mean, his body a little banged up because, you know, the surgeries and everything, but he's not old.
No, but here's my point, Jake. My point isn't that he's old. He turned 27 in March, by the way. My point is that, to me, he's to the point where he should have matured by now and gotten over being mouthy and fixed those concentration drops problem. I have confidence that I can mold a kid out of college and have him fix what his issues are. Because like I say, no one coming out of college is perfect. There are always issues you got to fix.
Right.
I think there's a much better chance of, you know, fixing those issues with Eric Ebron. And you're right. Those are two red flags with Eric Ebron. He has too many concentration drops. You know, those easy ones. He catches a lot of tough passes. And, you know, as we heard last week from Tony Pauline, he has some issues in the locker room in terms of being a little mouthy, which is the first time I heard that. But I think as a college kid, you can coach that out of them. I think right now Jermichael Finley is more or less a finished product.
Yeah, and that too, I don't put too much stock in that that mouthy thing because mostly all the great players want the ball.
Right, exactly.
I mean, if you don't want the ball, then what the hell are you in the league for?
Well, you know, there's a different shakes between wanting the ball and wanting the ball to the point where you become a disruption. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Shockey. Because Shockey was definitely a distraction.
Right,
for
exactly.
Eli, even though I love Shockey, he definitely was a distraction because Eli felt like, oh, okay, I got to give Shockey the ball. I didn't pass it to him all game. I got to give it to him. So, yeah, I feel you on that. I want to ask you a question, too. I want to ask you, you'll say our needs is wide receiver, tight end, pass rush, right?
And O-line.
And O-line, yeah. Interior O-line.
Not necessarily in that order, but in my opinion, the Giants' four biggest needs, I think, are those. And frankly, listening to Pete talk about it, I'm sold on linebacker being in need, too. So I would say here are the things I want to get in this draft. I want to get a linebacker, want to get wide receiver, want to get a tight end, want to get a pass rusher, and I want to get a running back. I want to get those five things in this draft.
Okay, now, my question to you is any of them more important than the other?
Here's how I look at it. I'll bring this back to the Finley conversation. If you don't draft the tight end in this draft, I think you're desperate to bring another one in free agency. I'm not sure at any other position, Shakes, you say, if I don't get a guy in this spot, I'm absolutely desperate to bring one in as a free agent. Maybe offensive line, because I think you'd want to You know what? I would say, honestly, I think tight end's probably your biggest need. I think that's the biggest hole in the roster right now.
Well, to me, I say that none of these needs are bigger than the other. I mean, pass rush is just as high. We need pass rush just as much as we need that tight end. I think we need that wide receiver just as much as we need that tight end. We need that tight end just as much as we need that wide receiver. You see what I'm saying?
No, Shakes, I hear you. I hear you, Shakes, but here's my argument right now. If you don't draft a pass rusher in the first two rounds, I know who your four starting defensive linemen are next year, and I'm okay with that. If I don't draft a tight end, I'm terrified at who my starting tight end is next year.
Yeah, but again,
terrified.
We got June 1st cuts. And then who's to say we don't find somebody in signing a free agent rookie?
Shakes, you can. I'm not saying you can't. But as the roster stands today, don't you think the Giants have more talent on the defensive line and at wide receiver and on the offensive line than they do at tight end?
To me, I think that no. I think that every position probably can use one more player. You know what I mean? Like, if we started this season today, if we started on the defensive line, okay, we're okay, but we need another body there. Same for wide receiver. Yeah, we're okay, but we need another body there. And then tight end. Yeah, we're okay, but we need another body there. We got Davis. We got Robinson. He has to step up. We have we could bring back Bear Pasco if for all that sakes, you know what I'm saying?
Bear Pasco signed with the Falcons on Friday, Shakes.
He did?
Yep.
That's not good. I like Bear. Bear blocks. Man, that's not good, man. All right, last point I wanted to say. Just that what I was trying to bring it up to, though, is, you know, with the June 1st cut says, even if we trade up, and which I'm getting killed about, Giants fans is, no, we need all these picks. We need all the picks we can have. And listen to me, y'all, okay? If we give up two extra picks in this draft, and I don't care y'all kill me about it, if we pick up two extra picks in this draft, it's not the all-be-all. It's not the end, okay? We can pick up some bodies and sign in rookie free agents, or the June 1st cuts. So if we lose a third rounder and a fifth rounder, we can make that up. So don't people say, oh, I don't want to give up these picks and all that. But if you want your guy, if I'm the GM and I want my guy and I want Evans, I'm going up to go get him. That's just me.
Thank you, Shakes.
All right, man. Thank you.
Have a good one, dude. Appreciate it. No problem. And by the way, I should point this out. One guy that somebody's sleeping on a lot, and it's probably my fault because I haven't brought him up enough, is one guy the Giants signed this offseason to play tight end is Daniel Fells. He was kind of one of those after-the-season pickups that were very under the radar. He didn't play last year, but he has played in the league for 7 years. He has 92 career catches in the league, including 41 catches for the Rams in 2010 and 19 for the Broncos in 2011. He has 8 career touchdowns, so he is a guy that does have some experience in the NFL, and I think that's somebody that I think a lot of Giant fans missed on the signing. And right now, frankly, he's probably your starter week one. It's not Adrian Robinson. It's not Kellen Davis. It's probably Daniel Fells. You know, Davis is a better blocker, but he doesn't have the pass catching history that Fells does. So just something to keep in mind, somebody that a lot of people have probably been sleeping on and didn't hear a whole lot about. But that was an under-the-radar signing for the Giants. That does give them some veteran protection at tight end. Now we're joined by Eric Kennedy. We'll get back to your phone calls when we're done with Eric at 201-939-4513. Eric Kennedy, of course, runs the show over at Big Blue Interactive. Eric, how was your weekend? It's good to talk to you again, bud.
Yeah, it was good. I'm ready to get this draft going, though. It's been a long wait for this one.
And the question is, has the NFL learned their lesson? Are they going to move this thing back up next year? I hope so,
because it's driving people crazy, and everyone's just spinning their wheels at this point. I've revised my predictions like 3 or 4 times this weekend alone, because I know you wanted to put me on the spot this week. So, and the more time you have to overanalyze this thing. So I'm ready to get going with this thing and get it over with.
And we will get Eric's predictions for the first 3 rounds, by the way, by the time this interview is over. But first things first, Eric, where has the popular opinion in your view swung over the past few days as to where the Giants should go with this first-round pick. Frankly, I usually find that Giant fans are unified in what they want. I find this is as split as I've seen the Giants fan base in quite a while as to what they want to do with this first-round pick.
Yeah, I think it's pretty well split, and it sort of follows what your guests have been saying over the week and even the experts that you've had come on the show. I heard earlier in the week or last week that you remarked that you keep getting the draft gurus coming on, and they each have their different pick, and I think that's pretty much it. I think all the rationale for the pick has been logical for each. I mean, you can make a strong case for any of these guys, and I think that's been the fans. And I like the way you've organized your thought process when you've been interviewing people. You know, I listened to a lot of your show last week, and
you've
kind of broken it down, I think, the correct way when you've approached us with people. You've talked about the blockers, you've talked about the receivers, but you've broken down the receivers in terms of their size, the longer ones, the taller ones versus the quick, shorter ones, and then you've talked about the defensive players and the pass rushers and that type of thing. So I think the way that you're thinking about this, a lot of fans are doing this. And the one thing that I've always noticed over the years is fans will get emotionally attached to a certain player or a certain position, and then when the draft occurs and then their player doesn't get picked or they don't go to the position that they want, they get irritated, which I've never really understood, because I just want a good player. I learned a long time ago that if you get emotionally attached to a player, a lot of times that player ends up not being very good anyways. What matters is not if the guy that you predicted gets picked by the Giants. It matters if the Giants pick a good player. So
right. That's
all I care about is if they draft somebody that you know, I wasn't thinking about, as long as that guy turns out to be a heck of a football player, that's all I care about.
No, Eric, I'm with you 100%, because eventually the way the NFL works with free agency, with injuries, if you have a good player on the roster, you're going to find a way to get him on the field to contribute to help your team win.
Right, and then we talked about it a few shows ago, but we thought, you know, who would have thought going into this year that running back would be an issue again, because you thought, you know, David Wilson, you thought Andre Brown, but now Andre Brown's gone and you don't know about David Wilson. So in a year, things can completely turn completely around at a position because of injury, because of age, because of free agency. You just never know.
I thought Pete Domelatis made a really good point, and we're joined by Eric Kennedy, by the way, from Big Blue Interactive, about linebacker. And maybe linebacker, since they re-signed Beeson, has been a little underrated in terms of a need. They bring back Beeson. They bring in Jameel McClain to play in the strong side. They still have Pacing and Jaquan Williams. How much do you think they need to add a linebacker to provide some depth at that position, especially considering John Beeson's injury history?
Well, you know, that's a really interesting question, because I think there's two issues. One is the Giants have obviously, right or wrong, whether you agree with it or not, they've sort of downplayed that position over the years.
Right.
A lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, they're a 4-3 defense, and in the 4-3, your defensive line are your impact players. And I think it's harder to find these fine linebackers now coming out of college. I think a lot of the guys that are out there are these 3-4 types that don't do well dropping back into coverage. We ran into that with Clint Sintem, for instance. The more athletic guys often tend to be very undersized and almost borderline safety size types. And I think there just aren't a lot of those ideal type of guys like the San Francisco linebackers that are out there in each draft. So that all said, I think the Giants learned an important lesson this last year with Beeson, in that if you have a really good linebacker, it makes a heck of a difference, at least in the middle linebacker spot. The other thing, too, is in their defense with the three safety package and so many teams running multiple wide receiver sets, that the third linebacker comes off the field all the time. So you're actually really need to get two really good linebackers is more important than thinking across the board and getting three. If you had three, that'd be great, but that third linebacker just isn't on the field all that
right. Much,
so you don't want to spend a premium pick at that position.
No, look, I agree 100%. And now here's a good question, though, and you mentioned Will Hill. With his suspension now, it might hamper the Giants' ability to go to that, you know, three safety package. Does linebacker now become a little bit more important, because you're not going to have – those three safeties potentially, if Will Hill does in fact get suspended, to take one of those linebackers or maybe even a second linebacker off the field in those nickel and dime packages.
Yeah, and it depends on how much they feel about the other safeties on the roster. You know, do they see Quentin Demps as more than just a return guy? Cooper Taylor is a guy that they were very high on, and then you got Stevie Brown back. So the Will Hill thing's big because I think, you know, regardless of what you think about him in terms of his off-the-field issues, he's a heck of a football player and last year, and it looks like he could become a very good football player. And I think Perry Fuel is probably more than a little bit ticked off about this situation now because I would think he would have big plans in store for him. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But that's a good point. And I think the other thing, too, is, like you said, Beeson, they're fine. They're in good shape if Beeson's there. But if Beeson gets hurt again, then they're back to where they started. Do you want Mark Herzlick really starting back at middle linebacker? Maybe they move McLean into that spot in that situation. But he's not the most athletic guy in the world either. So again, at some point, I think they're going to draft a linebacker on one of the 3 days of the draft. I just don't think it's going to be high. I think it's going to be, again, we're going to look at a fourth, fifth round type thing, and they're going to try to find somebody who's athletic enough, hopefully, that they can sort of groom behind Beeson, maybe groom behind McLean, I would think.
We're joined by Pete Domelatis, Pro Football Focus. We're joined by Eric Kennedy from Big Blue Interactive. We were joined by Pete Domelatis from Pro Football Focus earlier in the show. See what happens when they have two guests in one day, Eric? I get easily confused. I apologize for that. We haven't talked much about running backs between me and you when we've had these spots over the last few weeks. I find it interesting how many Giant fans really seem to believe in Michael Cox and say things like, oh, you know, we don't need a running back in the draft. We're developing Michael Cox. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, you guys do realize Michael Cox was two or three picks away from being an undrafted free agent last year, right? I mean, I still think the Giants still need a guy they can groom here at running back with some upside. And quite frankly, to protect themselves if David Wilson can't come back and play next year.
Yeah, that's a great point. And there, we did our running back preview on the site this week, and there are a number of guys that would go into that second, third, fourth round area that you'd say, man, I'd like to get him on the Giants. The problem is, and I think you know this, is if you take the running back, then you're going to be ignoring another position in the higher spot. So I really like Jennings a lot. Even before free agency started, I thought he had New York Giant written all over him. So I think between him and based on the comments I'm seeing, and maybe I'm being overly optimistic, I think David Wilson's going to be back. I think they'll be okay with him and Peyton Hillis. I think they'll, at some point late in the draft, maybe in the sixth round, they'll take a flyer on a guy. But if they took a running back in the third round, it wouldn't shock me. I don't think they're going to go in that direction, but you're right. You know, there is question marks with David Wilson, and they're going to have to be able to run the ball better than they have. I like Cox, but I'm not counting on him, and I don't think the Giants would be at this point either. I think what you're really thinking is Jennings, maybe Wilson comes back, Peyton Hillis may be in the picture, and then if Cox does come on, then that's great.
We're joined by Eric Kennedy from Big Blue Interactive. Eric, why don't you give it to me? Give me your first three picks and give me your overall draft strategy here for the Giants. If you are Jerry Reese, I'm giving you the GM's cap. How would you handle the draft Thursday, Friday, heck, even Saturday if you want to stretch that far?
Well, late last week I was going with Ebron. I thought I went back and watched some film on him, and I thought, man, you know, for all the knocks that this guy's getting, he's still a very athletic player. You can see he's almost a wide receiver in a tight end's body, and I'm not as high on some of these other tight ends that a lot of other guys are in this draft. So I'm thinking if they don't get Ebron, they're really not going to be able to significantly upgrade the position, at least immediately. But I keep coming back to and the other thing that factored into this is Mike Mayock, who generally has a decent feel for this stuff, seems to think that all four of those tackles are going to go early.
Right.
So I was thinking, geez, if all four go early, who are we looking at? And I was thinking, it came back to Ebron. But I have a hard time accepting that all four of those tackles are going to be gone. I guess it depends ultimately on the quarterback situation and how many quarterbacks go. and it all comes back to me is this, is Eli Manning was limping off the field in the last game, and he was pummeled all year, and if you don't protect him, if you don't keep him upright, then you have no shot going into this season. And I like that they signed Schwartz. I like Justin Pugh. They signed some other guys that might come in and be able to help in the short term, but they've got to get this offensive line. And the guy that I think that just seems New York Giant to me is Zach Martin. And it's the guy that we've been talking about all off season, but he's the guy that seems to me that he's smart. He can play multiple positions. He can run block. He can pass block. If BD can't play, you can plug him in at left tackle. I think he just makes the most sense for them. I don't believe what Jerry Reese says when he says that the draft is completely independent of what they did in free agency. I think they're obviously there has to be a connection there, and so I'm going to go with Zach Martin. I think he's going to be there. The second round, I think they've got to go with the playmaker, and I looked at a number of the wide receivers, and the guy that I think in terms of height and intelligence and route running, the guy that can come in and make an immediate impact in the West Coast style of offense is Jordan Matthews. He's got better speed than people thought he did. He's a super productive player in the SEC, playing against pro-style, pro-quality cornerbacks. He was a feature player in that on his team, and he still was that productive. I like his game. He's a very smart guy, a team leader, as was Zach Martin. The two guys that I'm looking at for the top two picks, very high intangibles, very smart, very, very hardworking team leader types that the Giants tend to like. So those two. And then in the third round, this is the one that I kept going back and forth, but the one guy in terms of a pass rusher that I think meets the Giants' mold in terms of what they look at defensive ends is Will Clark out of West Virginia. He has the long arms. He has the height. I think he was a little bit miscast in West Virginia when he was playing a lot of five technique in a 3-4 defense. He was the one guy that gave Zach Martin problems at the Senior Bowl in the pass rush drills. I think he's going to be a better pro than he was a college player, and I think he gives the Giants some insurance at the defensive end spot going into 2015 if they don't know what's going. You know, if JPP, they have to see what's going to happen with him. Kiwanuka may not be on the team. They have to see what happens with DeMontre Moore. This just gives them another pass rushing type, and a guy who can play the run well too. So he gives them the flexibility that he can play either the strong side or the weak side on defense. So those are, and he's another high character guy. He's another guy that was considered a team leader at West Virginia, and probably one of the best players on a defense that wasn't very good. So those are the three guys I'm going with. I just think that they've got to address that offensive line, and if they don't do it in the first round, they'll have some chances in the second round, but those premier guys just aren't going to be there, and you just don't know if you can plug somebody in from day one like you can with one of those four guys that'll be there in the early rounds.
Eric, sounds like a plan, my friend. I appreciate it as always, and let's catch up either late this week, maybe Friday, or we'll do something early next week, all right?
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, Eric.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one. That's Eric Kennedy, Big Blue Interactive. We'll take your calls the rest of the way at 201-939-4513. And I like Eric's Will Clark pick for defensive end. That's a name we haven't talked about a lot as a middle-round pass rusher. And I'm going to have Matt Miller on tomorrow. He's a draft guy for Bleacher Report. He tends to go deep with these things. So we're going to kind of touch on the first round here, guys. And then what I really want to try to do with him is focus on those middle-round picks and really try to get a feel for him as who the Giants could get in those second and third round areas in the NFL draft. So tomorrow that'll be Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. Studies a lot of tape on a lot of guys in the NFL draft. 201-939-4513. Let's go to the phones. Derek in Atlanta helped through that interview. Derek, thanks for holding. What's going on, bud?
Hey, good morning, John.
Hey, what's going on, Derek?
Yeah, I got a couple of things I want to talk about today. The first one is that, you know, I'm going to try to make my case. Well, you know, I still like Evans and Donald, but I think they're going to take Aaron Donald. And the reason why is because the Giants value or devalue some positions in the draft. And they just think that their team can't pick every position for everything. So they concentrate on certain positions. And the ones that they don't concentrate on so much is linebacker, tight end, or running back. And they try to fill in as they can with those positions.
Though, Derek, keep in mind, the Giants did pick a running back in the first round of the draft 2 years ago.
Yeah, but that was the first running back probably out of really, really, really big necessity of getting one. And that's probably the first running back that was taken in a while.
And they also haven't picked a defensive tackle in the first round since William Joseph. So something else to consider.
Okay. So I was just looking at Aaron Donald and looking at, all right, the Giants have, in the past, have picked positions a lot to fill in for positions that think they may be losing. Well, Cullen Jenkins is what, 33 years old? You know, he played really well last year, but how long is that going to be?
No, that's fair.
You know, to play. So, you know, and we need pass rushing. And you say, well, you got a pass rusher. I'm thinking on a third down package or in your package where you can leave Cullen on the field, take your other tackle off the field and leave Donald on the field. So you have your two defensive ends and two rushing pass inside pass rushers will make up for some of the lack of sacks that you're going to get from the outside position. So, you know, that's where I think they're going to go from there. Another thing that, I really think if the Giants didn't pick Aaron Donald, then they would have to look at the offensive line. But, you know, Zach Martin would be a good person to. But I also still think that you have to give some of these players that you bring in and second-year players some time to develop. We had offense. We had Mosley playing out of position. He's too tall to play guard in the NFL.
Well, Derek, I could tell you the Giants don't really view Mosley as a tackle anymore. They view him as a guard, so that's his position.
Well, if he's not, then he's probably not gonna either play or he's gonna have to be a backup to a backup because. He's when you at 6'6", you're probably not going to be a really effective guard, you know.
Remember, Jeff Schwartz is around almost 6'5", and he plays a pretty effective guard. So,
well, I don't know, but I just think Mosley, he's a better. I project him out to be a better right tackle. And if he can't make it there, then you know, then we're probably going to need to pull in another guard in here to fill in, and so. That's the couple points I want to make there. But I got another thing I want to talk about. At the going up and probably getting Evans, okay? So he may not be there because, you know, they're picking him now at 5. But if he slides down past 7 or 8, I think that you got to go up and get him. And I know everybody's going to say you don't want to lose the picks and everything, but I do believe that in certain people's hands, picks are more valuable than others. So I think in our GM's hands, the picks aren't as valuable as they would be in another coach's, another GM's.
Why do you say that?
Because what the last few years, that's why I say it, because we haven't, the record – At the end of the year, John, when you go into your boss's office and you talk about your job performance, he talks about your strengths and your weaknesses. And I'm sure Jerry Reese does the same thing. He goes into his boss's office and they point out, where's our players for the last few years? Where's the and which has surprised me because I think Jerry Reese came up as a scout. So it really surprised me how many players he's missed. And,
yeah, but Derek, that doesn't mean the picks still aren't very valuable. You know, just because they might have missed on a few second-round draft picks the last few years doesn't mean second-round draft picks still don't have an inherent value that you have to take advantage of and hit on if you want to be a successful football team long-term. I mean, this isn't something where you could just say, well, you know what, we don't do great with second- and third-round picks, so, you know, let's just write it off and try to trade up.
But I don't think you just give them away, but... going back to what I was saying is that when you sit down with your boss, you're going to say, what are you doing well and what are you not doing well? Now, in my eyes, and maybe in your eyes too, Jerry Reese pretty much did a hell of a job this year in free agency. So I think that could be his strength. And if you're asking, hey, let's work on what your strengths are, you know, and if you need a guy, go get him. And that's not the Giants' character. but so is picking 15 free agents or 17 free agents in the year either, too. So you never know just because if their pass wasn't a, you know, to move or go up or go down, that is not going to happen this year. Because I think that, you know, we're seeing a different Jerry Reese. And I guess either the Giants management is giving him room to operate or the salary cap is giving them room to operate. Whatever the reason, I think that you have a lot of different options right now. And if you really want offense and you got your offensive guy, then you go up and you get Evans. And then that, hey, you're fulfilling a lot of Giants fans, issues with offense. I just don't think that Ebron, at this point in the draft, teams are putting tape in to find out why they shouldn't pick you, not why they should pick you. And, you know, when they put those last couple of days, put that film in to see those drops and everything, I don't think he's going to be here.
All right, Derek, thanks for the call, bud. Appreciate the input.
All right.
Thanks, man. 201-939-4513. I like Derek. He puts a lot of thought into all what he wants to do in his picks and everything like that. Don't agree with him in this particular situation, but, you know, that's fine. But, you know, there is logic to what he's saying. Let's go to Oliver in Denver next at 201-939-4513. Oliver, how are you?
John, I'm pretty good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just want to touch on what you were speaking about, the middle three rounds of where we should go. I just had a couple of quick questions on what do you think is going to happen if there's not necessarily a run on quarterbacks, but for some reason I know everybody's saying this is a really, really deep draft, but I still think for some reason in top 12, three quarterbacks are going to go in the first round.
I'm thinking two, honestly, right now, Oliver. I'm thinking two in the first round. I think you're going to have Bortles and Manziel. That's my gut feeling right now. I wouldn't be shocked if Carr or Bridgewater snuck in, but right now I'm guessing two.
What would you say those two would go?
Right now I'm thinking Manziel 4 to Cleveland, and I'm thinking Bortles 8 to Minnesota.
I think those are the two teams. I just don't see Jacksonville. Jacksonville can't sell tickets. And Manziel, you got Gus Bradley, who dealt with the mobile quarterback and Russell Wilson, and everybody compares Russell Wilson to Manziel. I don't see them passing on Manziel. I think Manziel would mean more to their franchise than any other franchise.
No, I agree with you. Everything people are – look, and I know, you know, people lie, so who knows if the reports are correct. I haven't seen somebody come out and predict and say they're here and the Jaguars are going to pick a quarterback in probably 2 or 3 months. It's, you know, everyone thinks they're picking either Watkins or they're picking one of the offensive linemen.
I've been seeing those predictions. I think it's stupid if they do. Like, they traded away their quarterback that was starting, the one that was a draft bust. Oakland trades away their quarterback, but then they bring in Schaub. The Browns trade around Wheaton. So those two teams, I don't see how they can pass on them. The Browns make sense more to pass on one because they can then, I think I would love to trade back, have them trade back up and get maybe one of the quarterbacks at, because they got a second-round pick.
No, well, the Browns actually have a second first-round pick. They're picking 23rd in the first round.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm sorry. I think they're 26.
There's a 26? So I thought it was 23.
Actually,
okay.
Kansas City's 23.
I got you. Sorry.
So
about
they
that.
Can take. I would love to have them trade their second-round pick and their first-round pick to number 12. To the Giants and maybe take one of those quarterbacks. So it makes sense for them to pass on one because they can then move back up and get Bridgewater or Carr. I just don't see Jaguars can't do that. And then guess what? Houston needs a quarterback. They're at the top of the first round. So maybe Cardinals, I don't see the Cardinals passing on a quarterback. So if one of those top 10 teams pass on a quarterback, they're kind of like they're back in the first round, top five first round next year. You might as well pencil them in now. So I wonder what's going to happen to us. Who's going to slide to us? Hopefully it's Evans. I'm jumping aboard the John board and going with Evans in the first round. So if three quarterbacks go, I think either Matthews or Jake Matthews or Evans slide down to the Giants if three quarterbacks go.
Oliver, even if three quarterbacks go, right? Let's say you have the three quarterbacks go, okay? And then you have your other surefire top 10 picks. I'm going to put Clowney in there, Cleo Mack in there, Sammy Watkins in there, Robinson in there, and that's seven. I mean, Matthews is probably the next most talented guy off the board at eight. And I would probably say the next two talented guys are probably Evans and Taylor Lewan, you figure, and that would put you at 10. Well, so I still think there's, you know, probably a really good chance that Evans is going to be gone, even if you do get three quarterbacks in those first 11 picks.
What's your take on people putting – I've seen prediction that people put Lewan over Matthews because they see Lewan more as a left tackle and Matthews more solely as a right tackle.
I think people get a little too obsessed with, you know, combine athleticism and they don't worry about who's a better football player. I think Matthews is the better football player. I think he has fewer red flags than Taylor Lewan. I think Lewan maybe has a tinge more upside, but he's not as good of a football player right now. I would pick Matthews. I think he's very safe, and I'd be very happy with Jake Matthews as either as my starting left tackle or right tackle for a very long time, to be quite honest with you. I like Lewan. I think he'll be also off the board in the top 10 or 11 picks, to be honest with you. I don't think he's going to be there when the Giants select, but I would pick Matthews over Lewan myself.
Oh, like I said, I want him to slide. I didn't like the way Lewan handled Clowney when looking at the film. I think Clowney dominated him in some aspects. But my one more question I want to ask you is, I've just been looking at what people are saying going into the season. The season started today. What we got to do to pretty much win the NFC East in the draft. What's your take on how they're ranking the rosters going into this draft, us versus the rest of the NFC East?
You mean in
Everybody's
terms of
picking Philly, like, huh?
Are you talking in terms of overall roster strength, specific positions, offense, defense? What are you talking about specifically?
They're talking about overall roster strength. Like, uh-huh. They have us having the worst skill positions in terms of playmakers. They have us having, like, some of the best defense, which is easy to say. But overall skill positions, offensive line, everybody's saying Philadelphia has the best offensive line. So I was just wondering what's your take on that. And then just to answer your question about the middle rounds, if I had my choice, I would go wide receiver first round. Of course, I would go with Evans. I would go with Austin Jefferis Jenkins in the second. I know you don't like this guy because it's a little bit of a risk, but I would go with Dominic Easley in the third. And in the fourth round, I would go with I like your assessment of the need in terms of linebacker. I think this guy may even give us some help if we lose Will Hill. It's Talvin Smith and possibly the fourth round. And then maybe, hopefully, Marcus Martin and one of his centers is still on the board where we can move up with our two fifth-round picks in the fifth round.
All right. Appreciate the call, Oliver. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
And I think Dominic Easley will be off the board by round three. I like him as a potential late second-round pick. I don't think he'll be there when the Giants pick at three. As for your question about the NFC East, how would I break down the NFC East right now? It's a good question. I do think the Giants, you know, probably have worst set of skill position guys. I mean, if you take a look around the division, you got the Eagles, and I'm including running back here. So the Eagles have LeSean McCoy, Jeremy Maclin, you know, Riley Cooper, Zach Ertz, and Brent Celek, and, you know, Nick Foles. I think that's probably, you know, I'll take the quarterback out of the mix just in terms of wide receivers and running backs and tight ends. I think the Eagles probably have the best set. I mean, the Redskins, geez, they got Jordan Reed, DeSean Jackson, and Pierre Garçon. Whew. And Alfred Morris. A hell of a group of skill position guys. The Cowboys, DeMarco Murray, Dez Bryant, Terrence Williams, Jason Witten. I take those guys over what the Giants have right now. So I think the Giants probably do sit towards the bottom in terms of skill position. In terms of offensive line, I mean, the Cowboys are in decent shape with Travis Frederick, Tyron Smith, Doug Free to bounce back year last year. They're okay. They're not great. The Eagles, I agree, have the best offensive line. The Redskins are probably closer to the Giants than the Cowboys. The Giants, I'm not sure they can say the worst offensive line, but they're in the mix, and I don't think either the Giants, Redskins, or Dallas have great offensive lines by any means. I think they're all okay. Defensively, I think the Giants easily have the best secondary, and it's not close. Dallas' secondary is not very good. A couple safeties got added. The Eagles added a safety this offseason. I don't like the Redskins' secondary, so I think the Giants certainly had the best secondary. I think the Redskins might have the best pass rush. I think Brian Arakpo is probably the best individual pass rusher now in the division. considering DeMarcus Ware is no longer with Dallas. I think Dallas probably has the worst pass rush right now in the division. The Eagles could use some help. The Giants are okay. I think the Giants might actually have the second-best pass rush. You know, people kill the Giants' pass rush. I mean, who on the Eagles is really rushing the passer these days? Who on Dallas is rushing the passer these days? Seriously, who? So that's how I would break those teams down by division. All right, I got three calls on the line. I'll take you three, and then we're going to say goodbye for the day. Tomorrow we're joined by Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. He can break down the draft for us. Let's go to Rolando in Queens. Rolando, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Johnny boy? Good morning.
Doing well, Rolando. How are you?
Good, good, good. Going crazy with the draft. You know, there's so many possibilities and so many different ways you can go, man. It's just like you can't go wrong. And everybody having their own opinion, you agree with them and then you disagree with them. And this is, I think, one of the few times where we're not just targeting one particular position. Most of the time in the draft, you always say, oh, I can't wait to get that offensive lineman. I can't wait to get that corner. I can't get – this year we have so many needs. It's you can go, you know, so many different ways. And in my opinion, I think this rebuilding, which you call retooling, it's just the beginning. I think it's a three-year project, and I think we're going to go really based on the draft, the strength of the draft. Whether it's going to be all offense, you know, to help Eli Manning retool the offensive line and see if he, you know, hope that he's not broken where he's hearing footsteps. And if he is, you're still preparing for the future quarterback, whoever might be taking his place. And what I'm looking at it, Johnny Boy, is like, bro, if we go offense now, and then next year, say defense, by the third year, we could do exactly what everybody's saying. Trade all our picks, more or less, and I'm just being, you know, sarcastic. But to trade all our picks to get that particular guy, whether it's a quarterback, whether it's a defensive end, whether it's whatever the need may be, we're going to be in good position. Now, someone mentioned that Jerry Reese, you know, personnel-wise is, you know, lacking. One of the things that he said, I think, this past year was they took a lot of risks in the draft picking, him and the owners, and that's why we don't have what we have. That's why they retooled. But not just this offseason, but last year when we were going through all the trouble, this dude was coming up with people like, yo, man, look at where he's coming up. And we had no money. We were strapped. And we played decent, you know, that's almost a contradiction because we played bad. But decent enough to get somebody on the field that we didn't kill Eli. We didn't get Eli killed. At the end, we got him hurt, you know. But
well, in fairness, Eli did get the you-know-what beat out of him most of the year. I mean, he...
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah, hell yeah, bro. Oh, I mean,
Rolando, be careful.
I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. 35 sacks. And 13 by Beatty. I mean, you know, when you guys talk, look, I could go LeBron. LeBron, I'm thinking basketball.
I'll tell you what, LeBron James would be a hell of a tight end, let me tell you.
No, wide receiver, he can jump for it. Taylor LeJuan, Weston Richbrook. You could go on and then I could go back with you with Aaron Donald, Scott Creighton, you know, we could go all offense in terms of skill position, Eric Ebron, Jordan Matthews. You know, we could go so many different ways. I spend nights, bro, thinking. And the thing that I think the most is offensively, and my fear of Eli being, you know, hearing footsteps, is that we could always retool the offense, not only for Eli, to make sure that he's not broken and hope that he's not. And if he's not, we're going to have an open offense. We're going to, you know, whoever scores last is going to win. You know, the defense is going to be lacking this year, and, you know, we'll go point for point. And then next year, we rebuild whatever missing pieces we need on defense. And what I see is like almost a template with what Denver did. They retooled the offense. Gave Peyton Manning all the stuff that he needed offensively. Then this year, they went defense. And they went specifically for pass rushers and, you know, other guys, and hope that Miller, you know, doesn't get suspended anymore. And they're Super Bowl contenders. You know, that's what I'm thinking, Johnny. Oh, John, big request. Well, I've been wanting to tell you this one for a while.
Okay.
But is there any chance you can interview Walton, Robinson, and especially Nesbitt, Ryan Nesbitt, saying to him, you know, how does he feel being the number one cornerback going into camp?
Rolando, as OTA start, when we get past the draft, we'll start having one-on-ones with a lot of those guys you're talking about. We'll have them on Giants.com, all right?
I really appreciate it, because I want to hear what Walton has to say about his health, and I know you're going to ask the right questions. I just want to know, how's his ankles, how's his, you know, lateral movement, and that's big, you know, do you think he can compete? And Robinson, okay, are you up to it now? What's holding you back? You have a chance to win the spot, because if you don't do it this year, goodbye, Charlie. And that's it, bro. That's all I have.
Thanks, Rolando.
Thank you. Take care.
Appreciate it, man. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Snaps. Giants Chat. I'm trying to figure out here. I'm going back and forth with David Goodman saying how Perryfield doesn't ever bring his middle linebacker off the field. And I brought up how in 2007 they basically played Michael Boley and Jaquan Williams as his two primary linebackers in nickel that year. And in 2011, rather. And you know, they did take the middle linebacker off, though. He thought Chase Blackburn was on the field pretty much every snap in Super Bowl 46. I'm trying to find the Chase Blackburn snap count for that game, but I can't seem to find it online. But if someone else has that, you can let me know. I'm curious. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Avery in New York. Avery, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, John?
Doing all right, Avery. What's up?
You seem a little tired today.
No, I'm doing okay. Why? Why do you say that?
No, you seem a little tired. I don't know. There's usually a little bit more... Up, a little more pep in your step.
All right, okay. I'll make sure I put some pep in my step for my last 10 minutes here, Avery.
Okay. No, you know, the Giants really have a conundrum this year, because there's so many holes that we really need. And funny, going back a little bit, I was thinking about that when I called earlier, that I cut myself off. But I was going to say, of all the teams in our division, the Giants have the least weapons out of all the other teams. Have at least two to three different players that their quarterback can throw to. We're the only one that only has really one person, and he's double teamed all the time. So, you know, it's sort of like, you know, I've been thinking, you know, our offensive line right now, what do we have, two healthy people?
Right now, Chris Knee's healthy. J.D. Walton's healthy, Schwartz is healthy, Pugh is healthy. So you have guys that are healthy now. They've just been hurt a lot in years past. So, you know, take that for...
Which could maybe flare up throughout the course of a hard year.
That's correct.
So that's what I'm... Listen, John, me and you wouldn't agree. When I listened to you, I said, this man is reading my mind from Queens, New York. He's reading my mind from wherever you are, because exactly what you're thinking is exactly what I'm thinking. We need offensive weapons. There's nobody really outside of Victor Cruz, and he's double teamed to throw to. And we need to, but if our offensive line, one guy goes down, you know, this kid Jake Matthews, who hardly ever gets hurt, who has a great pedigree that can play both sides of the line, maybe he may not be a bad choice after all. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I mean, heck, if Jake Matthews is there at 12, I run to the podium before a minute goes off the clock, but he ain't going to be there.
Okay. But then I was reading an interesting story about Jay Samaro, which you said went no parts of, but he said he did do some blocking, so
well,
I don't know. And
I've talked to, Avery, has basically said he's nothing more than a receiver in a tight end's body. I mean, he literally didn't block anybody, and when he was asked to block, he really didn't seem like he wanted to do it either.
Okay, well, according to him, but you know, people say stuff to sort of hype themselves up, I guess, in the papers and stuff.
Very
like that.
True.
Tony Gonzalez seemed to like him a little bit, but he said also that Eric Ebron can't block, but at least, like we said, from what we're reading, he's willing to learn. So I guess that's it. But that's my thing is this, is that we need another weapon. You know, I'm sort of locked in between. Now, let me ask you this real quick. In the second round, is there an offensive lineman that's worth taking in the second round?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could definitely find an offensive lineman in the second round. I mean, you can get a guy that can come in and start day one at guard in the second round if you want.
But, I mean, someone but is he going to be any good?
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure, yeah. I mean, right now you could probably get the second or third best guard or even maybe even the second best center in the draft with your first, second-round pick if you want to go in that direction, for sure.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's the route we should get that weapon if we can. I'm with everybody else. I would like Mike Evans, quite frankly, a little bit. I mean, I like Ebron, too, but I kind of like the Mike Evans kid, but that ain't going to happen either. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'll be honest with you. This is the first year, and I've been a fan, that I've actually been, after last year season, I've seemed so invested in this draft. I'm, like, preparing everything for the day Thursday, and I'm weighing around. This is the first year I've actually done this and actually looked at all the players and all that kind of. I've always been in it, but not like this, except for the other year when they picked that Nasbet guy for the quarterback, and I didn't understand that pick at all, but that's neither here nor there. But we'll just see what happens. I'm like right in the middle there. I want an offensive player, but we need an offensive lineman. And then we need pass rush, too. But, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm sort of whoever's on the – my thing is just whoever's on the board and they're the best player that we need and we can get them, then we take – so basically what you're saying also, if Jake Matthews, Eric Ebron, or Aaron Donald are on the board when it's time for us to pick, you would take Jake Matthews?
Yes, I think I would. I think I would take Matthews. I think I would probably even take Matthews over Ebron. I think he's that good.
Okay. I'm in agreement with you on that because we need an offensive lineman, someone that's good. And then maybe we can get someone else, you know, because after Eric Ebron in the tight end area, all these other guys have, like, major issues. There's not really one of them that's complete at the tight end spot, really, is there? Ebron's not probably –
I mean, no one's as good as Ebron is, but, you know, you have, you know, Austin Seferian Jenkins, who has some off-the-field stuff. He's a pretty good athlete, pretty good receiver, and he has blocked a little bit, too. He played as an inline blocker at Washington a bunch. You know, Nicholas can catch the ball. He's just more of a, you know, a possession receiver guy. He can block. Fedorowicz has done both. So you can still get a tight end that I think can be a pretty solid NFL tight end for you if you don't pick Ebron in the first round.
But none of them can spread the field.
No, none of them have the athleticism of an Ebron does, and neither does Jason Morrow. He's much more of a possession receiver, too. He's not a guy that's going to burn you with speed down the seam.
See, that's what we need. We need a person that can spread the field. And I don't see the points in getting a playmaker if they can't spread the field and take somebody off of Victor Cruz. You know what I'm saying? I just don't see the point. Why are you going to get another just plain receiver that's not really a threat? I don't really see the point in actually doing that. You want somebody that's a threat.
Thanks for the call, Avery.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate
it,
man. Bye-bye. I want to get to Anthony in Phoenix before we say goodbye. We got to run here. Anthony, thanks for calling in, bud. Good to hear from you. How's everything?
Hey, fine, John. Finally to get on with you again. How's it going?
I'm doing great, Anthony. How about you? Is this your final call to try to lobby for Taylor Lewan and Zach Martin and Troy Nicholas?
Well, honestly, I think... you know, if Evans is there, if Ebron's there, if Lewan's there, or Donald, any one of those four, I'm happy, really. If any one of, and I think one of them is going to be there at least. And the reason I'm thinking that is because there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. I mean, there's four teams in front of us that need starting quarterbacks. I look at this. Tell me if you agree. Texas needs a quarterback, a starting quarterback. Fitzpatrick is not it. That's not the answer.
They do need one, but I don't think necessarily they have to take one in the first round if they don't want to.
Well, that's my argument here. With the Jaguars, they need a quarterback. They need a splash quarterback, a starting quarterback. The Browns need a starting quarterback, and the Titans need a quarterback, and the Vikings need a quarterback. There's quite a few teams that need a starting.
Well, though, keep in mind the Titans still have Jake Locker, who was a first-round pick, and he hasn't ever really stayed healthy to the point where they can get a full look at him. And the Vikings did re-sign Matt Castle, and they have indicated—I think it's a bluff—but they have indicated that they will be comfortable with him as their starting quarterback this year if they have to go in that direction.
Well, they've got a safety net, is what they did.
Right.
Same with Texas. What they did is they got a safety net with Fitzpatrick, but in all reality. How many starters do you really think there are available in this draft?
I think year one, you could probably have four guys that can start for you. I think Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm actually a big fan of his out of Eastern Illinois. I think he's going to be a very good player. I'm not a big Savage or Mettenberger guy. I don't think their production and play was good enough in college despite their measurables. I think Aaron Murray could develop into a pretty decent quarterback, maybe not right away. So I think you're looking at the four top guys that can start in year one if you want them to: Bridgewater, Manziel, Bortles, and Derek Carr, and then Garoppolo, right. I think, is the clear-cut fifth guy. But I'm not sure if you necessarily want him to start right away. And frankly, I'm not sure you want Blake Bortles to start right away. He's the guy that could use some seasoning. I think Manziel can come in right away and do a pretty good job for you. I think Bridgewater might be the most NFL-ready of all the quarterbacks. And I think Derek Carr can step in and start right away, too, to be quite honest with you.
That's why I see those guys not passing on the quarterback in the early rounds. Because they're not going to be there after that. And that they're not going to get the second bite at the apple. Well, and that's the problem here. That's why I think we're going to at least see three quarterbacks go before us.
Well, remember this, though, the Browns do have that second first-round pick, Anthony. So they, I think, out of all the teams, they are probably in the best position to not pick a quarterback in the top 10 because they have another pick there at 23, and you figure they could get whatever guy is left there.
I just see them, either them or the Jaguars, taking Manziel. He's going to sell tickets. He's going to put another 10,000 fans in the stadium.
Look, I agree. I think you're right. I think Manziel, out of all the quarterbacks, is the biggest lock to go in the top 10. I like Bortles as a long-term prospect, I think, a little bit better. But I think Manziel is a lock to go in the top 10.
Yeah, that's why I see, I guarantee two going before, but I really think three are going to go before us. And that leaves us open for somebody that we want, either Ebron or Lawan or Donald or Evans. One of them is going to be there. And then that's where the Giants can come down with a decision. If the only thing I disagree with you, and I love you guys on your show, your guests. That was excellent. Martin is a great pick, but I don't think he's a pick at the 12. I really think we could go back, maybe trade something with the Jets, someone. Maybe we can get him later. Somewhere along the line, maybe Jerry can come work his magic and make a deal there and get us another second-round pick and move somebody else up into the 12. If we want Martin so bad, I think we can move back.
Yeah, Anthony, you know what, though? The late word here is that Martin could be off the board at 10 or 11.
Wow.
From what I hear, offensive linemen are more and more likely to go higher in this draft. Honestly, right now, I would think if I had to bet all three – top offensive tackles will be gone when the Giants pick at 12. That's my guess.
Wow, that's wow. Then that would be for sure. We'd get either Ebron or Evans.
I think here's my guess. If I had to gather on draft day, what's going to happen? The Giants will have their choice between. I think Donald's going to be gone. I think somebody's going to get excited about getting a defensive line pass rusher, and he's going to go off the board. I'm thinking the Giants will have the choice between Zach Martin and Ebron when they pick at 12. I think those are going to be, out of all the guys we've been talking about the last few weeks, I think those are going to be the two guys in the end the Giants will have a choice of picking.
I like Martin. I do. I just don't like him at 12. That's the thing. If any of the others are there before him, I would take any one of the others before Martin.
Got it.
I just think that you know, I'm a Lewan fan, but if I'm happy with Ebron, I'm happy with Evans. I mean, I'd really like to see Evans come because we could use a wide receiver. If I had my choice, if all of them are there, I honestly would take Evans because we need some. I agree with Cruz. We could use Evans over there and give Eli and get us a guard in the second round that could plug that hole, and then maybe later rounds we can get a tight end. But nice talking to you, John. I'll talk to you again before the D-Day comes.
All right. Thanks a lot, Anthony. I appreciate it, man.
All right, take care.
Everyone, good job on the phone today. Thank you to our guests, Eric Kennedy and Pete Tomolatis from Pro Football Focus. Excellent job, as always, from both of them. And, of course, later on this week, tomorrow, we're going to have Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. Excuse me. He does a lot of draft stuff and scouting for them. I'm going to try to focus on second and third round, maybe even, third day guys at the Giants – could pick at some of their positions of need. So I'm going to confirm the time with him today. It'll probably either be 10 o'clock or 9:35 off the top of the show. So he'll be with us tomorrow. Wednesday, we'll have Bob Glauber and Greg Cassell from NFL Films, who does a lot of film work for them. And then coming up on Thursday, we have preview of the draft. So it should be a very busy week. We'll probably get the Giants beat reporter on. Me and Dottino hosting. We'll probably bring on maybe a Paul Schwartz or something like that on Thursday morning to try to get a feel through Paul's sources who the Giants might pick in the draft on Thursday. Everybody, thanks for joining. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Giants.com. Big Blue Kickoff Live comes your way at 9:30. We'll see you then.